is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Grow by serving God, not just by knowledge. Knowledge can puff us up. In fact, it does puff us up. It always puffs us up if we are not using it, if we're not applying it and serving the Lord with it. So we're called upon. What has God given you? Look at the opportunities in front of you that God gives and be faithful. Use the scriptures to guide those opportunities, because there's an enemy who will also give you lots of opportunities to do things that are not of the Lord. Look at your resources. What do you have? Do you have time? Do you have talent? Do you have treasure? And are they being met with opportunity?
Have you been busy about doing the work of the Lord lately? Today, Pastor Troy will be encouraging us to not only know the Word of God, but to apply it in our day-to-day activities. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you during your day and watch the amazing doors of opportunity He provides for you open wide. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Hey, I could have given all my heart, but the talent is significant to offer to the Lord. And treasure these things for the kingdom of heaven. Are you using what God has given you to invest in the kingdom of heaven in all of these areas? You may have a greater income. So are you using that income to glorify the Lord? And, you know, I'm not saying give all of it to the Lord and keep just enough to pay your bills. But the amount you do keep, you know, obviously give to the Lord for sure. Offer in the first fruits. But the amount you keep, what are you doing with it? You can still honor the Lord by your lifestyle and the choices. Are you just living luxury? Are you spending on things that aren't good, that you shouldn't do? Are you being real, real wasteful? See, we still honor the Lord even with that which we keep. And there's an accountability. What about time? Maybe you have more time. In this country, some have been blessed with time. Are you giving it to the Lord? Are you offering that time to the Lord? More people get themselves in trouble with time on their hands than money on their hands. Someone once said, free time is the devil's workshop. He loves it because it's your time, and we seem to get into more trouble with more time. Perhaps you'll have a lot of talent or ability or even experience. Are you using these things to invest in the kingdom of heaven? We need to understand what it is we have. Have you ever stood before the Lord and said, what do I have? What do you want me to invest, Lord? And then you offer that to God. And obviously, He's the one who gives opportunity too. So you can't just force those things on someone too. We'll talk about that in a moment. Thinking you have something, you know, I've got the gift of this. Use me. God's given me this. No, that's okay. We don't need it. So we don't want to impose ourselves either. Opportunity is another gift that God gives. And we need to understand that what we have is given by God and it's for His purposes. What do you do well? Are you offering that to the Lord? And not only that, are you giving the best of it to the Lord? It'd be like this. I've had times where I'm going to, you know, you put money in the little slots or whatever, or you pay someone with some cash, and I'll look in there, and sometimes I'll see some nice, crisp ones, and I'll see the ones that are a little more wrinkled, and sometimes I'll just say, okay, let me take the wrinkled ones out of there, because the crisp ones are nice and neat in my wallet, so I'll keep those. You know, we have that mindset. We kind of keep the best for ourselves. But are you giving the best to the Lord? The best of what you have? It's quality of work. In other words, here's what can happen. You can have a lot of talent. And so, you know what? I'm going to offer that talent to the Lord. And because you have so much talent, let's use music as an example, an easy picture here. You don't practice before because I can do it. You just show up. And you know what? Maybe you show up and you're able to put everyone here musically we have to shame. But see, in God's eyes, you haven't given your best. Those who you're outdoing are giving way more than you because they're practicing, they're trying, they're giving their heart to the Lord. But you, with so much talent, it's like, I'll just show up, and you're not giving your best to the Lord. See, God considers faithful giving, giving your best, giving quality stuff to the Lord. What do you do well, and how are you offering it to the Lord? One of these, this means we need to discover what it is that God's given us. And feeling like you don't have enough is not an excuse. I've heard some say, well, I don't have enough of this. You know, I could help for a little, but I can't hang out too long. Or, you know, what's my little $2? Or, I just don't have very much to give. It's just not very good. And yet the opportunity's there. And God's saying, I want you to give it. Well, what I have isn't very good. That's no excuse. In fact, that was the mindset, I believe, of the wicked, lazy servant. I had one. I didn't want to risk it, Lord. I buried it. I know I'd be a man of high standards. I just didn't feel like, you know, I had all of it that I needed, and so I'm not going to give it. The wicked, lazy servant was the one who made all the excuses for not investing. See, we grow in the Lord through service. Did you know that? You don't have to be good at it, just faithful in it. And we grow by serving God, not just by knowledge. Knowledge can puff us up. In fact, it does puff us up. It always puffs us up if we are not using it, if we're not applying it and serving the Lord with it. So we're called upon. What has God given you? Look at the opportunities in front of you that God gives and be faithful. Use the scriptures to guide those opportunities because there's an enemy who will also give you lots of opportunities to do things that are not of the Lord. Look at your resources. What do you have? Do you have time? Do you have talent? Do you have treasure? And are they being met with opportunity? Be faithful. Invest them now because one day we're going to give an account. We will give an account of those things. We grow through serving the Lord. And I think that's the idea, at least one of the ideas, about these guys who were doubling their investment. They didn't wait until they returned. They doubled the investment while they invested, and they got a return on it. And it's the same way when you invest your talent, when you invest yourself, you grow. That's how we follow the Lord. We invest, we find out, oh, this does good. Oh, this opportunity opens. I didn't know I was good at this. And it increases. But not if you don't serve the Lord, not if you're not faithful, not if you don't persevere and seek Him with all of your heart and give your best even through the difficult times. And there will be difficult times. It's to test us. Are we faithful? Are we doing it just because it's easy, because it's what I thought it would be? Or when it's not what you thought it would be, are you going to be faithful? Hebrews 5:12-14 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age." That is, here's what he means by full age, those who by reason of use, or literally practice, they've been practicing their faith, exercising it, have had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We grow through service. Faithlessness here. Did you notice that what he referred to as faithlessness here was not rebellion? He wasn't rebelling. It was the result of this, not knowing or not responding properly to the master. See, this man knew the expectations of his master, but instead of investing, letting things mature, he hides it and does nothing with it. There's no investment at all. It's like the person who might come up for an altar call on an emotional plea, and he comes forward and he says, "I give my life, I want to follow the Lord." But then he goes away and he never gets to know his Lord. He never finds out what it is that God wants, what it is that God has done, who God is, and invests himself in the Lord. See, this man did not really know his master because he sees him as a hard man. The others didn't see him as a hard man. The others, when they came to settle accounts, he told them, "Well done, enter into the joy of your Lord." So this guy, he's making excuses, but his excuses only condemn him. And that's why the master says this: "If you knew I was such a hard man, if you knew I had these expectations, then that should have motivated you if you really believed in me. If you really knew that I was this way, it should have motivated you to work twice as hard knowing I'm a hard man." So your excuse doesn't hold water. And notice it was the one who had the least who hid it. Was he worried about losing it? "I don't have enough. It's not good enough. Maybe he's ashamed of it. I don't know. But I know this: you never have too little to give to God. When he asks, when he provides and he asks, you're not called to evaluate what you have. You're just called to give it. God always enables. Let me read something by A.W. Tozer in his book, Rut, Rot, or Revival. "God never told anyone to do anything that he or she could not do. Jesus said to the man with the paralyzed arm that hung at his side like a limp piece of flesh, 'Stretch out your arm,' Matthew 12:13. And the man, believing that Jesus was the Christ, stretched out his hand and was healed instantly. God has never asked anyone yet to do anything that he was not enabling that person to do." Whether you think it's a little, in fact, it's those who think or feel like they have so little that often God uses so greatly. Because those who think they've got so much, They think it's them. It's my ability. It's my charisma. It's my this. And, you know, "Oh, no, it's the Lord. It's the Lord." But it's the Lord because he gave me so much. And when that's the attitude, we steal the glory of God. As if we have anything. What do we have that we were not given? Like basketball players, they should never just grab the glory for themselves. Because to even get in that league, you've got to be a certain height, basically. And that they had no control of. And yet, like, "Look at me. Yeah, the camera. Yeah, that's right. Look at my name." You know what? God made you that tall. We never, never should lose sight of the fact that it's God who gives us what we have, that we're to invest for his glory. Verse 29, "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant, into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Two possibilities here. There's the reward for faithfulness. And understand this, you're not going to be perfectly faithful. I mean, we're sinners. And we need a Savior. The idea is that you are striving, continually getting back up and striving to be faithful to the Lord. And then there was faithlessness, rejection according to faithlessness. A major idea in these parables that we've been reading is you can't be considered his servant and he cannot be considered your Lord if you don't serve him. If he's not your Lord. It just isn't that kind of relationship. Luke chapter 6 verse 46, Jesus' own words. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" According to this, the consequence of claiming to be a servant but not really being one, are disastrous. Throughout the scriptures, there seems to be this balanced tension. It's so hard for the church, and for us, the church, to balance these two ideas. And it's faith and works. Because we have some that they drift toward the works. "I gotta see works. There have to be works. Works, works, works." And then there's the other side. It's faith alone. They don't have to do anything. "Do you believe in Jesus?" "Yeah." "Okay. That's good enough. You're going to heaven. I can't see any fruit of it anywhere in your life, but you did say it. So just say Jesus is Lord, because you can't say it except by the Spirit." Jesus is Lord. Okay, you're saved. You can't say that but by the Spirit. That's not the idea there. The idea is there's you can't really mean it. It's not evidence in your life that Jesus is Lord if it's not really going on in your life. So that can't happen except by the Spirit of God in your life. James is a straight up guy. His gospel, I probably don't recommend it unless you're like a legal, you like the law, go to James. But for most, if you're new, you want to read something that's going to refresh and build you, go to a gospel, but don't go to James. My dad was one of those guys. He said if it wouldn't have violated God's word, he would have tore James out of his Bible, you know, so he didn't accidentally read it or something when he's going through trying to find a scripture. But listen to what James says. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart, be in peace, be warm and be filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Well, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. There's a balance. We are not saved by works. You cannot work enough to be saved, and you cannot work enough to maintain your salvation. It is a matter of your heart. If you really believe, then your faith will be demonstrated by works. What are some of these so-called works? One, using what you have been given for the Lord. Using what you have for the glory of God. That's service. Two, responding to the conviction of the Lord. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? So responding to the conviction. That's what we call the process of sanctification. I am being sanctified. It's not like a car wash where you sit there and just say, spray me, Lord. Sanctification requires some obedience, some response. You read his word, you wrestle with his word. Because not all of it comes to you and you go, okay, I'm going to start doing that. And you go, oh, man, not that one, Lord. I'm better than most of the people out there and you want to deal with this. And then he deals with that and you wrestle, but you wrestle because you believe in him. And then you begin to overcome slowly but surely. That's sanctification. You're growing in the Lord, responding to the conviction of the Lord. So that's two. Three, getting to know the Lord. Our conviction, our conscience can be miscalibrated by what we've grown up around, what circumstances, our own experiences, our personal agendas. And so our consciences aren't always reliable until we begin to get into the Word of God and we get them calibrated properly. For instance, someone who grows up in a home where there is strong prejudice, they're calibrated improperly. Because they grow up thinking, yeah, that's the way these people treat us. Or, yeah, that's what we have to endure. Or, yeah, this is... And so there is a bias that's not right. They're out of calibration in their thinking. Criminals have the same thing. There's this sense of, if you rat on your fellow criminal, you have defied an oath. And so if I get caught and the police question me, rather than going, you know what, according to the law, we need criminals off the street. And if there's crime that's been done, they should be caught. So you know what, yes, Joe's hiding here and John's there. And they don't do that. One, because they're worried about their life. But two, there's this conviction in their heart. They would feel like they have violated some trust or some code. But their conscience is miscalibrated. So we need it calibrated by the Word of God. So in order to follow him properly and by faith, we need to know him. and have our consciences recalibrated. So the question is this: do you know him? I know you could know him more. What do you know about him? Do you know the good that you ought to do? Do you know the things that he's been asking of you? Are you doing it? I guess the question is, what kind of servant are you? God's not holding you accountable to invest what you don't know, only what you do know. So you don't have to know 20 talents worth. If you know one talent's worth, are you responding to it? And that's enough, by the way. There's enough in what we do know that'll keep us busy walking by faith and being challenged. What are the gifts that you have? Not the gifts you think you have, but gifts that others recognize in you. These are things that people will point out. You know, for me, I'll be honest with you, as I have always been, I'm not a great teacher. If you were to take my form and my style and my arm movements, and I'm not textbook, for sure. I know. I read textbooks and I'll throw them away. It's not me. I watch other speakers and they're just so great, so eloquent, so smooth. And I'm not that. I'm not a great teacher. But here's one thing that I can look back and I can tell you is throughout my life, whenever I have helped to instruct people in whatever way, whether it's computer problems or technical issues, taking them through something, I've always had this, man, you're a good teacher. Man, you're a great teacher. Man, I can, you're really able to show me things. So it's like God is with me. I'm not that great, but I'm going to invest what God's given me. And as a kid, my mom's here, so she could verify this, but as a kid, I would organize the neighborhood kids. When we were in Nebraska, I would bring all the kids together, and we would organize ourselves and put on a show. And we would line up, and so we'd get in a line and stuff, and the first person would do his little tap dance or jokes or whatever he did, you know, just like this little show here. And then that person would get back in line and wait for their turn. But here's the deal. We put on a show, but we had an audience too, because we'd go through the doors and we'd invite our parents, invite all the parents to come and get them to sit down. Now for us, they were there for us, but they were probably thinking, when are these kids going to finish? They probably came out just to talk to each other. But I would put on these shows. There'd be singing. There'd be stories. Basically, in a secular way, I brought us a church service. Because we sang before, there was some message, a little laughter, and then we would close, usually with a song or something like that. And I thought, you know what? I am called to this. That's exactly what I do now. I'm not doing anything now that I haven't been doing my whole life, except I'm doing it because God has called me and because God is with me. And as long as I believe he's with me, this is where I want to be. And I also want to do my part to make sure that he's with me. In other words, sin separates. Whether you guys see sin or not, God does. And he will remove himself if we're not faithful. What are you spending your resources on? Time, talent, and treasure. Because it's God who's given them. And let me just close by saying, God's not asking of us anything he wasn't willing to do first. Because God gave his best. For God gave, and so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Building on the Solid Rock, the teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you can download today's message or subscribe to our podcast, which is always available in the iTunes Store when you search for Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. When you contact us, please let us know how today's broadcast has blessed you. Your feedback helps us know the Lord's direction for this ministry. Until next time, we'd like to say thank you for joining us, and please make plans to join us again same time, same place, as we continue to study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.